ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. இந்த தேர்ட் கேண்டோ ஃபிஃப்த் சாப்டர், ஸோ ஃபார் த சமரிஸ் தட் திதி ஹெல்ட் ஹர் ப்ரெக்னன்சி இன் த பூம் ஃபார் 100 இயர்ஸ் பிகாஸ் ஷி வாஸ் வரிட் ஃபார் 2 ரீசன்ஸ். By delaying the birth of her children, firstly, Diti wanted to postpone the suffering of the innocent common people, and this is a selfless reason. Secondly, Diti heard that Supreme Lord himself will come and kill her own sons, so she wanted to postpone their death, and this is a selfish reason. Although Diti is a mother of demons, she is ultimately a mother. Even if child happens to be a demon, mother loves her child. Another such example of a mother whose son was demon is King Vena and Sunita's son, King Anga and Sunita's son Vena. When he was killed, Sunita preserves her dead body, and then later from there Prithu Maharaj appeared. And by the force of Diti's pregnancy, we've been hearing that the darkness spread in all the directions, and the demigods approached Brahma and asked him about the cause of direction. They said that the post of Brahma is the supermost post in the universe, and the demigods first start by offering prayers to Brahma. So far we have seen that, because Brahma is the chief person, the firstborn in this material universe, and from him he contributed to the Vedas. So demigod said that we offer our respect, please help us. What to do? There is darkness everywhere. And many times demigods glorify Brahma in various ways, sometimes equating him with Supreme Lord. And there are many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam where this has happened before. In Canto 8, demigods praise Lord Shiva. During Samudra Manthan episode, when the halahal poison came out, all the devtas went to Lord Shiva and praised him as if he is Supreme Lord. They said, "You are the creator, maintainer, and you destroy the material world. You are super soul." And then in 4.6, 42 to 45, Brahma glorifies Lord Shiva. When Daksha's head was cut by Virabhadra, Brahma goes to pacify Shiva and glorifies him as Supreme Lord. And in 1.5.7, Vyasadeva glorifies Narad Muni that you are like the sun, you are the super soul who can enter everyone's hearts. In 4.31.5, Pracheta says to Narad Muni, you are like the sun, your movements are like the sun, which drives away all the fear and removes darkness. And in this chapter, demigods are praising Brahma that you are beyond the influence of time. There is nothing unknown to you. But Brahma is also affected by time, as we know. Whoever Brahma lives for 100 years, and demigods glorify Brahma as if he is Supreme Lord Vishnu. So why is Lord Shiva, Narada Muni and Brahma are glorified in Bhagavatam as if they are Lord Vishnu and beyond time? Srila Prabhupada explains this very beautifully in one of his purports, because they are devotees and empowered representatives of Lord Vishnu. Thus, sometimes they are glorified as good as Lord Vishnu due to their affiliation and connection with the Lord. They can understand others' intentions to a significant, sufficient degree. This glorification should be seen in that light. Ultimately, the glorification is for the Supreme Lord and not the devatas. For example, if we invite Prime Minister of our country for a special event to Bhaktivedanta Manor Temple, but unfortunately, if he cannot come, then he will send his representative. But what we will do is we will offer him the same grand reception, just like Prime Minister, because he is the representative of Prime Minister. And Brahma says himself that I am not the only creator. I recreate what has been already created by the Lord. I am secondary creator. And as a humble, honest, subservient, obedient servant of Lord, Brahmaji does not take any credit for his creation. Or here, as it is said, that he has contributed to Vedas, but he says, I am nothing but an instrument in Lord Krishna's hands. So there is so much to learn from here. And in his prayers, Brahmaji says in 2.6.34, నభారతీమేంగమృషోపలక్ష్యతే నమైకచిన్మయే మనసో మృషా గతి నమే ఋషికాని పతంత్య సత్పథే యన్మే హృదౌత్యో కంఠయవతా ధృతో హరిః. బ్రహ్మాజీ సేస్ మై వర్డ్స్ విల్ నెవర్ స్పీక్ ఎనీథింగ్ రాంగ్, మై మైండ్ విల్ నెవర్ థింక్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీథింగ్ రాంగ్, అండ్ మై సెన్సెస్ విల్ నెవర్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్స్ టు అ రాంగ్ పాత్. వాట్ ఎవర్ ఐ సే ఐ థింక్ ఐ డూ ఈజ్ రైట్. Why is Brahmaji saying like this? Because in the last line he says, Yanme rudauto kanthe yavata druto harihi. With great zeal and determination, I have taken the lotus feet of Supreme Lord Krishna within my heart. And I pray to him continuously with sincere devotion. And that is why whatever I say, I think or do is always correct. So to the degree one aligns oneself with the devotional service of the Lord, to the, that degree one can be sure of one's thoughts, words and actions. Brahma is pure representative of the Lord, and he says it is Lord Narayan who is the basis and foundation of this universe. And in 3:9:22-25, when he has to create, he is praying to Lord that please empower me to create. Because when we create something, whatever it is, as Mataji is, whether we are cooking something, we are making garlands, or we are good at decoration, any skills, anything we do, we create, it has some Rajo Guna in it. And the result is that one could get affected by this Rajo Guna. So Brahmaji says, I have to do creation, which is in the mode of passion. So I am really praying to you that I don't get affected by false ego. So save me from deviation. And I should always be aligned with the Vedic hymns. And Krishna's Maya energy is so strong. We know what happens in Brahma Vimohan Leela. Brahma gets bewildered. And in 11th canto, 13th chapter, from 16 to 17, 2 verses, 4 Kumaras ask very simple question to Brahmaji about the supreme goal. And Brahmaji could not answer. His intelligence was affected by activities of creation. He fixed his mind on Krishna, and in the form of Hamsavatara, Lord came and answered the questions of 4 Kumaras. So Acharyas have explained that Brahmaji was affected by Rajoguna while performing his creative activities, and he forgot the answers. And Srila Prabhupada writes a wonderful, brilliant purport in 3:9:24 in this canto. Brahma is the supermost Brahmana, I'm reading it as it is afraid of such a fall down, and therefore he prays to the Lord for protection. This is a warning for one and all in the spiritual advancement of life. Unless one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, he may fall down from his spiritual position. Therefore, one has to pray constantly to the Lord for protection and the blessing to carry out one's duty. The path of spiritual life is stated in the Vedas to be like the edge of a sharpened razor. A little inattentiveness may at once create havoc and bloodshed. But one who is completely surrendered soul, always seeking protection of the Lord in the discharge of his duties, has no fear of falling into material contamination. And this is so apt for this purpose. Srila Prabhupada says in today's verse clearly that it is a miserable life for one if he does not follow the injunctions and laws and rules of the Vedas. Translation and purport both is saying this, that we have to be so careful, and that is why there is prayer for protection, and our confidence is in our surrender to Krishna, in the empowerment of Krishna. That's where our confidence is. We know example of ladder. The higher you are on a rung of a ladder, the greater the fall. So the more one advances in bhakti, the more one must be very attentive. Gaining confidence is good, but it does not mean we are independent. No one is independent, and that's why this translation purport clearly says that one cannot violate the injunctions of the Lord, otherwise one has to suffer. Same is the case, we can take example of state laws. For example, if you are driving and if we skip red traffic light, or if we speed up, speeding, Or then we will get a ticket, we'll have to pay the fine. And if we drive on the wrong opposite side of the road, there will be havoc, there will be problem. We cannot violate state laws. So how can we violate the laws of Krishna? And here Srila Prabhupada says that no human being or demigod can enact the laws like those of the Vedic literature, because the Vedic regulations are prescribed by the Lord. So Vedas are a Paurusheya, because it is coming from the heart of the Lord. It is spoken by Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna. It is the rules and regulations. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, great personalities show how to live and how not to live. So it is, there is a do's and don'ts, prescriptions and prohibitions. One scripture, Bhagavad Gita, tells us how to live, how to regulate life, what to do, what not to do. And Bhagavatam, the great personalities are showing by their example. Various pastimes are for our benefit, for our lessons. And the Vedas are spoken by Krishna. Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Sarvasya chaham radhi sannivishto matta smrutir gnanam apohanam cha. Vedeshcha sarve rahameva vedyo vedant krit ved videva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler and I am the knower of Veda. And by studying Vedas, you have to know me. It is all about Krishna. So that is the beauty of the Vedas. And again, in 111, this is the very beautiful shloka of Bhagavatam, Janmadhyasya Yatonvaya Itaratas, Charthesh Abhignaswara, Tene Brahma Ridaya Adikavaye, Mohyanti Yat Suraya, Adi Kavi, Brahma, from Adi Ridaya Kavaye, from his, within his heart, Krishna, Lord Vishnu did not speak to Brahma the Vedas, it was inspired to him within his hearts. And then Brahma reveals it to Vyasdev, who puts it in writing for our benefit. Because that time people were Shruti Dhara. They will remember, they will assimilate, then they will speak. They don't need to write it. But for the this age of Kali Yuga, our memory is very short-lived, right? So for our benefit, Vyasdev has put it in writing. Whatever Brahma spoke, he divided it in four Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, Mahabharata. He then gave it to his disciples and grand disciples to propagate it and further distribute it. So that is how the propagation happens, by the transcendental teachings are transmitted transparently by the transcendental teachers for our transformation, right? So this is how an Acharya's contribution is. They have given us Vedic knowledge according to time, place, circumstances, by their bhashyas, commentaries, purports and references, so we can understand them better. And Srila Prabhupada, he used to spend sleepless nights to translate Bhagavatam in English. Let us try to reciprocate by studying and sharing Bhagavatam with everyone. And that's the tribute we can pay to Srila Prabhupada for his tireless efforts and all the acharyas. So coming back to the translation, that the Vedas are the laws of Supreme Lord, and the entity and the universe are directed by these laws. There's a very beautiful analogy in translation. It says that like how a bull is directed by a rope attached to its nose. There are two very nice analogies in today's verse. One in translation about the bull tied by a rope and salt. Sense gratification is compared to salt. So we will come to that. The rope is the Vedas. All the prescriptions and prohibitions in the Vedas literature, and the bull is us, the jivas. So how bull is tied by a rope, it is directed where to go, how to go, what to do. Like that we are directed by these Vedas, the rules and regulations for our benefit. If we live by it, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, that is the real benefit of a living entity. But on the contrary, if we violate it, then we will be put in a miserable condition of life. And I have just gone through Yathamati Yathashrutam, how I have heard from my seniors, couple of examples from Shastras of what happened when great souls, they did not follow these rules. And you know, it's like, before moving on to that, I would like to, for my purification, before speaking about mystics of great souls, three things are very important to bear in mind. that we should not get misled, we should not lose discrimination. Because exalted person made a mistake, it is not certificate given to me that he made a mistake so I can make a mistake. No, mistake is mistake, don't lose discrimination. Secondly, don't disrespect the great personality. Don't become judgmental. We should not fail to acknowledge the great services and activities done by these great persons. Even if they are making mistake, it is for us, it is their compassion that it is put in Srimad Bhagavatam for our benefit. It is their compassion that all this is noted down in writing, that who did what and what happened and what are the lessons. So it is their compassion, their humility. They are not affected at all. There is no aham mameti here. There is no false ego here. It is all written here so that we learn lessons from it. And thirdly, learn a personal lesson. Don't get misled. Don't lose discrimination. Don't disrespect the great soul and learn a personal lesson that if such an elevated personality can make a mistake, then who am I? One should not be overconfident of one's devotional status, speaking about me, and one must be very careful. Fear of fall down, prayer for protection. Even at the bhava stage, Bharat Maharaj had undue attachment to the deer. Maya is so strong. It caught him by his good quality, compassion. Maya is so creative. So one should never be overconfident. If he is at bhava stage and he fell down, he had to take two more births again to go back to Godhead. He was ready to go back at this birth itself, but this deer came and he became compassionate. And then we know what happened. He got deviated, distracted, and he had to come back again. But Krishna is so merciful. Even as a deer, he remembered everything. His spiritual position, he remembered Krishna, and then he was given a chance, and as Jad Bharat, then he successfully makes it in that life. So we can see that through all these examples, we are getting to learn. Even Yudhishthir Maharaj, if he plays dice, or there is examples of Yayati, Pururava, Saubari Muni in 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, they were distracted by Devyani or Urvashi or Saubari Muni by 50 daughters of King Mandata. All these mystics of great souls are giving us great Paramadbhutam lessons, extremely wonderful lessons of what not to do. Because in 9th canto, Shukdev Goswami elaborately discussed the sun and moon dynasties of the Lord. And he said that in 10.1.1, there is one word used is that all these stories are parama adbhutam, extremely wonderful. So in these cantos, there is a story of ideal king and devotee Ambarish Maharaj. Okay, that is great story. Lord Ramchandra is mentioned in a few chapters briefly. Entire summary of Ramayana is there. All this is great. But then there is also these other stories where great souls fell down due to lust, anger, greed, pride. And so we need to understand that Bhagavatam gives us insights of two types. One is the do's, other is don'ts. Prescriptions, prohibitions. And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam instructs us in our life by the exemplary activities of all the Vaishnavas. And, analogy of the bull is the example, as I said, of Jiva, and the rope is the Vedas. But say, for example, if a bull is tied to a pole by the rope. So there is a pole, there is a bull, and there is a rope. So whatever is that periphery area of the radius, how far he can go, that is the bull's destiny, prarabdha. He can't go more than that, can't move. But where in that area he will go to get the grass or food, that is his free will, where he will move about in there. So that is why we should not get, depressed or demotivated. Just as destiny causes distress, destiny also gives happiness. Destiny is extremely strong, but one can change it if one takes to bhakti, Krishna consciousness. Because in Brahma Samhita 554 says, Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam, Govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Govinda burns up to the roots all fruitive activities of those who are imbued with devotion. And there is an example of Prasidra in 9.2 Bhagavatam. He is the one of the sons of Vaiveshvata Manu in the Sun dynasty. And Prasidra's duty was to watch the cows at night and protect. But accidentally he kills a cow thinking this is a tiger. And his guru Vasishtha Muni curses him for such a sin. How can you kill a cow? It happened by mistake, but he gets this curse from Vasishtha Muni that you will become a Shudra in your next life. So Prasidra folded his hands and he accepted the curse very nicely. But he became fixed in one-pointed devotion to Krishna. And the curse did not affect him at all. He did not become Shudra, but in fact, he attained Krishna in the spiritual world. So we can see here, Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Even if we are a bull is tied by the rope, there is a free will given to us, some independence. And real independence is dependence on Krishna. If we will depend on Krishna, then we will be fine. So coming back to this, I want to say, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that sense gratification is just like salt. One cannot take too much or too little. And there is the example of Saubari Muni here. Saubari Muni was a great yogi. He was performing austerities under waters in Yamuna for many, many years. And one day something unfortunate happened is he saw two fishes mating inside water and he developed a desire like them to enjoy sense gratification. So he came out of Yamuna water and he went and saw this king, Mandhata king, who has 50 daughters that I want to marry them. Now the Mandhata king thought this yogi is very powerful, very mystic, and I can't say no to him, but at the same time he looks so old. He's been, you know, underwater for so many years, but I can't say no to him. He is a Brahmana, he could curse me. So he very smartly says that let my daughters decide. So on the way to the palace of the daughters, he understood by his mystic powers that what is what. So he transformed himself in a very good looking person. And when all the 50 princesses saw him, they all wanted to marry him. In fact, they all started quarreling. I will marry like that. And rest is very unfortunate. He built with his mystic fortune, yogi, you know, so many palaces and opulence just to enjoy with his 50 wives. And he's just enjoying, and this is the power of Maya. And in 9.6.52, there is a very nice verse. After so, so many years of sense gratification, he comes to realization one day. Oh my God, what have I done? Ekas tapasvi aham atham basi matsya sangat. There is a nice long verse. He says, in the beginning, I was alone. I was one person. I was nicely doing austerity and mystic yoga in Yamuna waters in Vrindavan. And then when I saw the fishes mating, I developed this desire of sense gratification. And then from one person, I became 51 with 50 wives. And then from each wife, he had so many thousands of sons. So finally, his family is 5,051 members. And he became fallen with the influence of modes of material nature, mental concoction. But after doing all of this, he got a very good realization that I lost the purpose of my life. I was so happy meditating on Lord in Yamuna River, and that is the real happiness and goal of life. Srila Prabhupada says real benefit of a person is in aligning with the Vedas. Too much salt. Here, too much salt for Saubari Muni. So the preparation is spoiled. It is not palatable. It is not tasty. It is not in accordance with Dharma. Is there anything wrong with getting married, having children? No. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. No, there is nothing wrong with getting married. We know there is a very nice family of Kardama Muni, right? His family life is glorified. Bharat Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, all of them, they were Grihastha, but they were dharmic, following the rules of the Vedas, and their procreation was in alignment with Dharma. 7.11 Krishna says, Balam Balvatam Chaham Kamaraga Vivarjitam Dharma Viruddho Bhuteshu Kamosmi Bharatarshaba. This is the law of Bhagavad Gita. If we are not going to align to this, what Krishna says here, that I am that lust or desire which is not against Dharma. In a marriage, aligned with Vedic principles, blessed by parents, Brahmana, community, that union of husband and wife is bona fide. Not for sense gratification, but done with pure intent as service to bring a conditioned soul with karmic baggage in human form of life to give him an opportunity to reconnect with Krishna, to attain Krishna prema by raising this child as good devotee. Thus, it is a service. Yes, there is some enjoyment, but that is bona fide. And when this child comes, they are going to bring him up as a devotee of the Lord. So, there is a very beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in Gopi Gita. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvigrinantiye bhuridajana. Bhuridajana. One who spreads glories of Krishna everywhere, they are munificent and they are very compassionate. Now, why I am reciting this verse? Because parents are Bhuridajana. It is their responsibility to children. They are spreading Krishna consciousness for them. They have great responsibility and service to raise the child to become good devotee with dharmic values and principles. And this is how they spread their compassion. Parents have extra service, not only training children in Krishna consciousness, but they are also taking care of their so many other needs. So they have elaborated seva. Kardama Muni was living alone. He did tapasya for 10,000 years. Like Saubari Muni did tapasya, Kardama Muni also did tapasya at Bindu Sarovar. And as a service to Brahma, he marries Devahuti to produce progeny, Krishna conscious children as service. And Kapila Dev is their son, Lord himself incarnated. His married life is glorified. And he is the wonderful example of family life. And he retired after the children were born. And Devahuti and his parents, Swayambhuva, Manu and Shatrupa, they all agreed with this kind of understanding that once the children are born, it is for seva, and then Kardama Muni will be full-fledged devotee to Krishna. And we can see even Rishabhdev, he had 100 sons in 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave beautiful teachings to his children. And foremost of his sons is exalted devotee Bharat Maharaj. He and 9 of them became Maha Bhagavatas called Nava Yogendras, and 81 became perfectly qualified Brahmanas. And all of this is in 5.4, 9 to 13 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. The difference is simple. Saubari Muni and all these Rajarishis, one marriage is for sense gratification, too much salt, and other is for service. Just the right amount of salt, hence the dishes are palatable. And in the right benefit of value of life, as Srila Prabhupada says, there is no violation, and so they are not punished. There is many things here in also Saubari Muni's case, not just lust, but also kama. Kama and krodha both. What happened is that, why did this material desire came in his heart? He was watching fishes every day. But why that day? Because he committed Vaishnava Aparadha to the regal bird carrier, the most pure devotee of the Lord, Garuda, who serves so intimately Lord Vishnu. He's the carrier of Lord Vishnu, sits on his shoulders and goes everywhere. And there are some beautiful descriptions in Bhagavatam when they come, when Lord is riding on Garuda and comes. It's very, very beautiful, very nectarian descriptions. Garuda comes to Yamuna to eat fish. And Saubari Muni is telling Garuda, gives him curse, that if you come and eat the fish, then it is not good for you. You are not allowed to come here and you should not eat the fish. Now here Saubari Muni is doing compassion to the fishes. This is a misplaced compassion. Why? Because Vedic injunction 1.13.47, it says, Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatuspadam. Falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. There is nothing to be lamented if a tiger eats a weaker animal. This is the translation, including a man, because that is the law of the Supreme Lord. The human being is meant to obey the laws of scriptures. This is possible for human beings, not for animals. If Garuda eats fish, that is his food, Ahastani sahastanam, that is absolutely fine. And if Garuda eats anything, he would always offer it to his Lord and eat. So there is nothing wrong here. And we cannot evaluate great souls by our own yardstick. That's what Saubari Muni did. And you know, when we touch urine or stool, if we are walking and passing by something, then we will straight away go and take a bath because we are contaminated. But when the sunlight evaporates so much such filthy moisture, sun is not affected. Sun need not take a bath. So for that, there is a beautiful shloka and again Vedic injunction. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Dharma Vyatikramo Drishta Ishvaranam Cha Sahasam Teji Yasham Na Doshaya Vahane Sarvo Bhujo Yatha. 10.33.29. Great soul will make a mistake, but then like Brahma and Vak episode, Brahma ran after Vak, his own daughter, but thereafter he relinquishes that body and that mentality, he regrets. And thereafter, straight after he does creation, such a big service, he is not affected. But the sons of Marichi laughed at his activity and they had to bear the consequences and they were cursed. Brahma was not affected. So in the same way, if Garuda eats fish, Saubari Muni need not curse him. So in the same way, we can see here that offending a devotee is a royal road to distraction and fall down in bhakti. And this is the do's and don'ts. This is the don'ts, the prohibition in Bhagavatam. Because Saubari became angry at Garuda, offended, with that offense, he developed desire, material desire. When we offend, the result is we will develop material desires and go away from bhakti. Our inspiration for bhakti will become weak. And this is how, there is also one more Vedic injunction. We cannot violate these laws. If we do, then 10.4.46 says, Ayu Shriyam Yasho Dharmam Lokan Ashisha Evacha Hanti Shreyamsi Sarvani Pumso Mahat Atikramaha. My dear king, when a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions, what will he lose? He will lose longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planets. Six things will be destroyed when he will do Vaishnava Aparad. So Saubari Muni is a case of Vaishnava Aparad, and there is too much salt, sense gratification. That is why there is an issue here. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, there is a verse that Tathapi bhakta svabhava maryada rakshana maryada palana haya sadhura bhushana. What it means is that the beauty of character, virtues and values is real beauty. Upholding etiquette is the real beauty of a sadhu. So we can see in this way that kama is not abandoned as long as it is not against dharma. And these are the one of the prescriptions of Bhagavad Gita 7.11. And we can see that salt, yes, if it is too much, there is a problem. 5.22 Bhagavad Gita, Yehi samsparsha ja bhoga dukha yonaya evate adi antvanta konteha nateshu ramate buddha. Whenever someone is enjoying on material plane, it is only source of distress, misery. So-called material happiness leads to deeper distress soon. So, you know, disconnected with Krishna, if we are going to try to enjoy, then as Srila Prabhupada says, it will slowly lead to miserable life. Bring Krishna in everything and he should be in the center, and that is the lessons to be learned. And Devi Hyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva Ye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. If someone is bound by ropes, they cannot unbound us. We are also bound. Only one who is unbound, who is Krishna, only he can come and untie us. So it is very important to take shelter of Krishna. Without that, there is no hope for us. So there is, okay, fine. So we have to do sense gratification in the right regulated way, following four regulative principles, and chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is what's been prescribed by Srila Prabhupada. So sense gratification is compelled to salt here. But there is one more thing in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, 11.20.21 Uddhava Gita, where it is said that Krishna says that our senses are like horses. If the senses become erratic, if we control the horses too much, then what will they do? They will rebel and the driver will fall off. In a chariot, driver is the intelligence, the ropes of the horses is the mind, and the horses are the senses. Now, we need to control the horses, the senses, so we don't take too much salt. We just take right sense gratification. Fine. But if we control it too much, then the horses will rebel and driver will fall off. So, it is said here that we need to control horse moderately. Similarly, we need to control the senses moderately. In the name of sense control, one should not starve the senses. One can eat, feast, or opulent food from time to time, that is fine. But overly eating opulent food will agitate our senses. And overly indulging in any sense gratification will exhaust and distract one from devotional service. So this is said in Uddhava Gita, that do it moderately. Not completely, you need not. Because sometimes going out for recreation is fine. Sometimes eating nice feast is fine, right? Wearing nice clothes, decorating ourselves, coming here to temple on festivals is fine. We are doing it to please Krishna. We are getting dressed nicely because Krishna's drishti will fall on us. Krishna will see that we came here. We are celebrating that we are here with Krishna. So all that is fine. And even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself followed this. In Antya Leela, there is a nice verse 6.236. Gramya katha na shunibe, gramya varta na kahibe, bhala na khaibe, ara bhala na paibe. Do not talk like people in general. Just generally don't just keep speaking, you know, and don't hear anything that is going on around you. Don't eat very palatable food, and nor should you dress very auspiciously. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, but he himself, at the Gundicha Marjan festival, after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself would personally feed the devotees Jagannath Prasad in huge, profuse quantity. He will get all the devotees to sit down and he would know which devotee likes which sweet personally. He would say, okay, give 1 kg of jalebi to this devotee, feed him properly. Give him gulab jamun, give him rabdi. Like that, he would be feeding them all. So here we can understand that some reasonable, non-forbidden sense gratification is good for the senses, even while practicing the spiritual life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows this. Going sometimes for recreation is not forbidden. And as long as it is in accordance with the regulative principles, we can enjoy the senses in the right Krishna conscious way, just the right amount of salt. And we know there is an example, I will conclude soon. Upabarhana. Narad Muni in his previous life was a son of a maid servant. And before that life, he was a beautiful Gandharva in a heaven called Upabarhana. And he was very skillful in his singing. He had this art and talent of singing. And one day he was invited in heaven's assembly to sing and glorify Krishna. This was specially a program to glorify Krishna. But he was so beautiful and he was so intoxicated in his own pride and beauty and among so many women, he starts singing mundane songs. And the Prajapati of that assembly gets very angry. And so this is Dharma Viruddha. You cannot do this. This is not the injunction of Vedas. You are supposed to glorify Krishna. And then he curses him that you go to earth planet and become a Shudra. So this is what happened. And then he comes to earth planet, but luckily he is the son of maidservant. Where she is serving, the Bhakti Vedanta sages come. In Chaturmasya, they don't travel, they stay in one place. And so fortunate, he gets to serve them with his mother, along with her. And he learns everything from them. He would just say, can I sit here and listen to your discussion? They would say, yes, yes. And then once they have eaten, there is some leftover in their plates. He would say, can I eat this? They said, yes, yes, you can eat it. So by eating the Uchishta of the great souls, by serving them, he got bhakti, devotion to the Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada says that once his mother dies, they both had no one, each other. This boy had mother, mother had boy. But mother was stung by a snake's bite one time when she was going to milk the cow at night, and she dies. And these sages are also gone. The boy is left alone. He's so young. But because he had gained these instructions from the sages, he had the power of bhakti yoga within him. He knew what is good for him. So he leaves for, Vana forest, and he's just meditating on the Lord the whole time, because he was taught by the sages how to meditate on the Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, this is a way a sincere soul is dragged by Krishna, by his personal plan. He is dragged nearer and nearer to Krishna. He meditates, he gets the vision, but then the Lord disappears and says that you intensify your bhakti and in the next life you will gain me. And then that boy gains a spiritual body when he dies, and that is Narad Muni, who is vibrating his veena. Everywhere the transcendental sage, he goes, he has full permission. He doesn't need visa to go anywhere. He can go anywhere. All the planets, all the three lokas, all 14 planetary systems, he can go. And he is great, great devotee. Every canto is glorifying Narad Muni. He has made so many pure devotees. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj, Prachetas, he guided them. And he speaks to Vasudev. He gives also instructions to Prachina Barhi, Narad Muni. So we can see here that how, and all these things, you know, talents, abilities, all these things are not important for doing bhakti. All these things are not important to go back to Godhead. Just the sincere heart and pure devotion, the desire to pray and love Krishna is all that is required. Because Arjuna had so many talents. Even the devtas were so impressed by his, what all weapons he had, what all powers he had and abilities to fight in the war. But when Krishna leaves the planet, Arjuna's all the planets are gone, all the powers are gone from Arjuna. And then he says, Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhu Rupina Yename Paratam Tejo Deva Vismapanam Mahat. That, you know, I have lost all my powers because my friend, my dear Krishna, has left me. And he says, there in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that none of these things are required. So while you have this talent, skills, abilities, powers, use them for Krishna. Because to go back, none of these are required, because Arjuna still goes back to Godhead without these powers. So, and Srila Prabhupada says that engage your senses beautifully in the service of Krishna, utilize them, he says in the purport, with the directions of the Vedas, and that is the real benefit of life. And none other than Amrish Maharaj is the best example how he used every senses of his body for the worship of Krishna. He was ruling the entire Bhumandala. He was such a big opulent king. He had so much wealth, but he was detached from everything, from family, from wealth, from palace, power. Full time he was a devotee of Krishna. We know, Savai Mana Krishna Padarvindayo Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane Karau Harer Mandira Marjanadishu Shrutim Chakara Chut Sat Kathodaye. So, because why was he detached from everything? Because he knew the real goal of life. So this is the do's to follow from Bhagavatam. It is here in front of us. Someone who has achieved everything, is detached from everything material and is completely spiritually engaged in Krishna's service. So the also just to end 1, 2, 13, there is a purpose. Whatever varna or ashrama to apply to us, we are in. Our purpose is samsiddhir haritoshanam. Ata pumbir dvija shreshta varna ashrama vibhagasha swanushthi tasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Whatever we do in our regular duty every day, whatever varna or ashrama we are in, whatever austerities, charities we do, we should do it as an offering to Krishna. Then only we are successful in our life. And this is what Srimad Bhagavatam prescribes again and again and again in so many pastimes, through so many exalted devotees, through so many nectarian shlokas, so many instructions. And that's why Srila Prabhupada says, don't violate the laws of Vedas. Follow the Vedas and you will gain the highest aim and goal of your life, which is achieving Krishna Prema. Because when we will pass away, which is the truth, everyone has to go, that is the ultimate, the pure truth, that time the holy name will definitely come with us. If we forgot our abilities of doing certain service, that is fine, it's not required to go back. But if we develop by then pure love throughout every day, then that 9:27, Krishna says, yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurashva madarpanam. Whatever you eat, offer it to Krishna first. Whatever you do, give away, charity, austerity, nishkam karma yoga, try to detach and offer to Krishna. It's all about selflessness. Like how in this world, mother's love to the child is compared nearest love to our love for Krishna. We need to develop without any selfishness. And this is how I like to conclude today's shloka. And my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj says, which has really stuck to me in my heart and mind, that working hard and not pleasing Krishna is useless. Whatever hard work you did, but with that, if Krishna is not pleased, then it is useless. Anything material is useless. Just include Krishna in everything. Please Krishna. And I think that is some, and it's the summarization of everything. How will Krishna be pleased if we will follow what is He has given us in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? So that's how I like to conclude. Please forgive if I said anything inappropriate, I made any mistake. Any principles and the Vedic laws or shlokas that I recited, basically it is for my purification, and with your blessings, I may be able to follow them. I have the sincere desire is there, but I need your blessings so I can myself follow, and it has really helped me to speak about them so that I remember them better. Thank you. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Any corrections or comments? Okay, so we will conclude. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Oh, there is a question? Yes, Mata.
I was just commenting, and actually it reminded me of my young days. It was so common to get uchchishta, like you said, of exalted soul. These days is so uncommon. I mean, just a thought. I mean, I do believe it is such a blessing to have uchchishta, remnants of exalted soul. But it's so uncommon these days, isn't it?
I didn't get Mataji with soul.
I'm saying you were saying it's good to have remnants of the exalted souls.
Yes, yes, prasadi.
Exactly.
There is a verse also again in Bhagavatam, 11th canto somewhere, I can't remember, Kali Yuga memory. But yes, prasadi. Prasadi garlands, even the chandan in the morning, the incense, all these when we accept, then the foodstuffs, the bhoga, the prashada, it says there that we will be able to purify just by doing all this. And that is why in the morning program, it is perfect, because all this is given to all the devotees, all the prasadi is offered, and then we are taking it, and this is the shortcut to come out of material contamination. It
so
says
all these are included in that uchchishta. I used to
yes.
think whatever they have eaten and left over, that is only counted.
Very good question, Mataji. So not only that, accepting the remnants from the Vaishnavas, also whatever is from the Lord, that is all prasadi, and what is from the Vaishnavas is the Uchishta or their remnants, is also similar. It will destroy our material desires, bring us closer to Krishna, purify us. That is why we must be greedy for that. Whenever we get a chance, we should take it. You know, even the lotus feet of Vaishnavas are washed, that water, wash water we can take on our head, we can drink, we can eat the remnants and accept it with much gratitude, then we can purify. Same with the Lord's prasadi garlands, chandan, prasad, you know, all this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Divya Gaurangi Mataji ki. Yeah.